FPD now faces, that the Senate, that the city attorney can implement that strategy working with the commissioner in charge of either the police or fire bureau. Commissioner Leonard, for instance, has indicated that he would like to offer Tom Hurley back to work in a way that does not run afoul of the arbitrator's decision. My amendment allows that to do that. And what it will not do, though, is strike our ability to challenge the arbitrator's ruling that Mr. Hurley deserves $100,000 in back pay and $40,000 a year in salary until he retires. So we're going to continue to go after that part, but this amendment does permit efforts of Commissioner Leonard or, in the future, the police commissioner or fire commissioner in consultation with the city attorney to move ahead on back to work. So I would offer that amendment, and I have a copy of the resolution that contains that amendment.
Is there a motion?
I'll second the motion.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion of the amendment?
Can I read it first? Yeah, I have not seen it. Where is it contained in the resolution?
It's in the underlined section, and I can actually read it out loud. Be it further resolved, nothing in this resolution shall prevent the commissioner in charge of the police or fire bureau, upon consultation with the city attorney, from taking action to mitigate damages in these matters. The amendment was moved and seconded?
Yeah. Additional discussion?
I have invited the two citizen members of the Fire Police Disability and Retirement Board to testify, and I see that they're both here, Justin Delaney and Jeffrey Robertson.
Would you like to dispense with council consideration of the amendment before we take testimony or after?
Either way.
All right. Yeah. Call the vote, please.
Fritz?
Is this just on the amendment?
Right.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. Would the invited testifiers please come forward? And then we'll go to the sign-up list. Thank you for asking.
Well, in fact, Bob, I didn't see you because you were behind the pillar there, but you are a member of the FPD&R board, so if you'd like to come up and be the...
I thought we were going to go off the sign-up list.
Oh. No, you're welcome to come up now, but the sponsors of resolution council items can always have the courtesy of requested testifiers. You were just offered the opportunity for that before we go to a sign-up list. That's the way we do it every day, every item.
I'm concerned this creates a meeting of the FPD&R with three members.
Is that a quorum? Yes.
This is a quorum if we have three.
That's why we're looking.
That's a public meeting.
It's true.
I just want to make sure we don't.
You're fine because I think. Thank you. City attorney, are we fine?
I think you're fine. They're not here to meet. They're here to testify in front of a legislative body.
Thank you.
On camera.
Before we sat down, I wanted to make sure that.
Thanks for checking on that. Go ahead, sir.
My name is Jeff Robertson. I'm an attorney in town here at a labor and employment firm and was appointed to the board by Mayor Potter. I can't even remember the date, but it was probably 05 and 06 in connection with reforms as a pension expert. I have no affiliation with the city, the fire, or the police, which is to say that I never interact with the fire and police and only see the city when I come to this building for meetings. The independence of the system is important to me as a taxpayer and as a lawyer and as a citizen of the city of Portland. The independence of the system is under direct attack. It was under attack and I think an excellent strategy executed by the union related to the independence of the system. And it's my belief that the arbitrator's decision states that me as a trustee, when I spend 4 to 8 hours a month of my own time to implement what the voters requested and at the request of the mayor's office at the time and reconfirmed by the council, that we are no longer independent, that the arbitrator's decision states that we're not independent, that something must be entered in by the city, not the FPD&R. There's been additional conversation that I've read and not heard directly that in some manner FPD&R should in fact pay for this result. I'm also concerned about, as a trustee, how we can affect the payment of something which we were not a part to. I asked the council today, and I wholeheartedly support the resolution entered by Commissioner Saltzman, that the independence of the system must be determined. And if it's not determined, then we should simply move on to something different and ask the voters that question. But the arbitrator decision should be challenged. Why? Because the broader question is at issue. I am unconcerned with the individual's claim, other than to say it's my understanding that a claim for benefits has not occurred under the system. which is the proper way in which this should occur. My belief as a lawyer and as a trustee is the arbitrator's decision should have said there is no standing, that this is an independent system, and get a court of law, if we question that, to approve it, not a labor arbitrator, in a labor grievance against a body which was not mentioned in the grievance. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Would you like to go next, Bob?
Sure. I have a question, but can I ask that of you now based on what you said?
Absolutely.
So have you read the arbitrator's decision?
I have.
So in the arbitrator, I mean, I've read it as well. There is nothing in it having to do with FPD&R. It's about the termination of a firefighter and the union's argument that the city lacked just cause to terminate a firefighter. How do you interpret that decision to mean that it's attacking FPD&R, especially in light of the fact the arbitrator says, I have no authority over FPD&R, which is directly contrary to what you said he said. He said that the arbitrator said that you are not independent. You quoted the arbitration award saying that the arbitrator said that. He never said that. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, I have no authority over FPD&R. So I'm just curious how you read that and concluded that it's an attack on the independence of the FPD&R system.
Well, I don't believe I directly quoted the arbitration decision. I referenced the arbitration decision,
you
Commissioner
said,
Leonard.
I wrote down what you said. You said the arbitrator states we're not independent.
Yes, the arbitrator states we're not independent. I agree with that.
Where did he say
I don't have the decision in front of me. I'm happy to go back and read through the decision.
I would appreciate that because
absolutely.
That's not what he said. He said just the opposite. I have no authority over FPD&R.
The result of the thing and the comments I believe that were attributed to yourself, Commissioner Leonard, are that the FPD&R should pay for this issue. The result of that decision, if FPD&R is to pay for the ultimate award, is an attack on the independence of FPD&R.
But whatever you read in the paper is what you read in the paper. You're a lawyer, and what matters is what the arbitrator said.
Right.
What the arbitrator said is FPD&R is independent.
Do you have a copy of that in front of you? I'm happy to read it while we're sitting.
I'll go bring it. I have it in
my
office.
I just simply don't have it, Commissioner Leonard, so it's not of value for me to debate it.
Well, that's actually what he said. And the award had to do with the city terminating a firefighter without just cause. Do you think that the arbitrator had no authority to speak to that issue?
I don't have any authority to speak to that issue one way or the other. My position here is that as a trustee, citizen member of the board, it is my belief as a citizen member of the board and as a professional lawyer reading that I believe the arbitrator's decision is incorrect and should have stated there is no standing on this decision. If the decision of the Fire Bureau was, as I understand it, is to pay the award as written, that is not my purview. I'm not here to comment on it. My concern is an attack that is occurring, in my belief, on the independence of the system, and one in support of this resolution, which, as I read it, states we should fight all attacks or all litigation or all lawsuits or all arbitrations that impact that award. That's what I'm here to support.
But I think it should be based on the facts and not how you portray the facts. And I agree there are 10 issues that are characterized as attacking the FPD&R. Of those 10, nine of those issues, the council is unanimously in support of addressing in court. But I'm charged with adhering to the facts and the law. And again, I would appreciate it if you would read the arbitrator's decision, send me an email with the points that document how you characterize the decision. If I'm wrong, I'll state it publicly.
As I stated, I'm happy to walk through it. I don't have it in front of me. You've stated you don't, and thus
okay.
I don't want
I'm asking you to email me after this, and I'm hearing you promise that you will do that.
I'm not going to promise anything. I'm saying I'll read the decision. That's why I heard you ask me.
Okay.
Appreciate the exchange. Bob, do you want to go next?
I'm Bob Lemon. I am here today as a representative of the Portland Firefighters Association. The association has supported and even championed returning injured and disabled members to work. I helped create the Transitional Limited Duty Return to Work program that serves approximately 60 members a year and contributes to a disability savings of over $3 million a year. I was active in negotiating details of the Return to Work program for permanently disabled members. Everything was proceeding smoothly until the city abruptly broke off bargaining. The association waited months before filing an unfair labor practice, hoping the city would complete its obligation. There is simply no rational reason for the city's refusal to bargain. This was the city's first mistake. The city's next mistake was terminating a disabled member for job abandonment related to refusing to return to work, limited duty work. This member had already been medically separated from employment with the city. Barring this unnecessary action, there would have been nothing for the association to grieve. No grievance, no arbitration award. I can appreciate Commissioner Salzman's frustration with the ill-advised, inept representation this council receives from the city attorney's office. The amount of time and taxpayer money wasted is not the issue before us. As a matter of law, the Portland Firefighters Association is a non-striking bargaining unit. Binding arbitration and employee relation board rulings are the only legal methods of dispute resolution we have with the city. I'm here today to ask the council not to make another mistake and to honor the rule of law. Don't commit an unfair labor practice by voting to disregard the lawful decisions represented by the employees relation board ruling and the binding arbitration award. Thank you.
Question: how do you see that as an unfair labor practice?
If the city decides not to honor the binding arbitration award, I'm pretty sure that's an unfair labor practice. That's our forum, and if the city and the association enter into binding arbitration, if now you're saying you're not going to honor that, I think that's an unfair labor practice. I think any labor attorney would agree with that.
Mr. Lemon, let me just, if I could clarify that, though, because I appreciate your point. Under our system, if either party believes that the arbitrator has exceeded the scope of his authority, and that is a right either party can assert, our labor partners or the city. It's my understanding under state law, what happens is one of the parties refuses to honor its obligations under the agreement. That triggers an unfair labor practice as a matter of law. The Employment Relations Board issues a ruling, and then if either party wants a court to decide that question, the next level of appeal is to a court. So I think in fairness, because I understand either party has the right to contest whether an arbitrator exceeds the scope of his authority. If the award is not honored, the unfair labor practice is the only mechanism that gets us to a court. It is not an additional disregard of the law or the rule of law. It is effectively the only way either party can get to a judge. And a judge is then in a position to determine whether the arbitrator did or did not exceed the scope of his authority. And I want to be clear about that, because when you mention rule of law, as someone who practiced in this area for over 20 years, I am deeply committed to the rule of law. But as long as the system is structured to require that you take a ULP in order to get to court and have a judicial opinion, rightly or wrongly, that is the only way either side can get a judicial opinion on that point.
Thank you.
So I want to make a point about that. The collective bargaining agreement with the Portland Firefighters Association, with the Portland Police Association, with the District Council of Trade Unions, all has language that says arbitration shall be final and binding, except in the case that Commissioner Fish just articulated, where the arbitrator exceeds the scope of authority. So the issue here isn't whether or not you have to abide by every arbitration rule. I think everybody would agree that there are circumstances that could exist where an arbitrator ordered a city and or a union to do something that exceeded that arbitrator's authority. And there has to be a way to resolve that other than just complying. I stipulate to that. So the issue here is not whether or not the city has to always abide by every arbitration award, right or wrong. That's not the issue. We all agree that in certain circumstances, it may be incumbent upon us to not comply with an arbitration award. This is not an example of that. So the question I have is...
Does the gentleman yield on that point?
I will not.
Okay.
The question I have at this point, the questions I have revolve around that issue. Is this as it is being portrayed by one of your colleagues who just spoke, as Commissioner Salzman presented it, an attack on the FPDNR system, which is a system that was put into the charter by the voters? Is this case an attack on that? So the first question I have for you.
May I reclaim my time?
There's no such procedure for you actually interrupted me.
No, I was asking the person testifying some questions. So I'm going to.
I didn't realize you weren't done.
Oh,
So you're now saying halfway into my remarks that you weren't done?
In my time.
So I'm going to, I didn't realize that you were not done either, so I'm going to, my fault, I'm going to ask you to continue and then we'll pick up with you.
Mr. Lemon, have you read the arbitrator's decision?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And are you aware at page 26 that the arbitrator ruled the simplest way to issue a make-whole remedy is for the city to reinstate the grievant and the fund to pay him his disability benefits? Are you aware that the arbitrator found that the simplest way to resolve this case would be to reinstate the grievant by the city and to direct the fund to make the past disability benefits?
Well, a point of order. That's taken out of context, that sentence. I read that.
Mayor, let's go back to regular order. I think I have the right to have this change.
You're misrepresenting what he said.
So I'm going to, the question was directed at Bob. You can decide whether or not you want to engage. And then after Commissioner Fish is done, Commissioner Leonard, you will have time for a rebuttal.
I can't state that I know for a fact the exact verbiage used in the arbitration award, sir.
So, Mr. Lemon, I have, as you know, great respect for you and had a chance to talk both to Commissioner Leonard at length about this and to the union about my concerns about this decision. At page 26 of the decision, the arbitrator states that, of course, quote, the simplest way to make grievant whole is for me to direct the city to reinstate grievant as a fund member and for the fund to pay grievant the disability benefits retroactive to April 5, 2007. Do you believe that the arbitrator would have had the authority to issue that ruling, to direct that the person be reinstated and the fund, a non-party to the case, be required to pay him his disability benefits?
Well, I think you should keep reading.
Right.
Because it says if the fund doesn't pay, the city is on the hook.
So it goes on to say the city has taken the position that no one, including the city, has the authority to direct the fund to do anything. And I just want to focus on that for a moment because Commissioner Leonard invoked that section of the arbitration earlier, and I think it's fundamental to our decision. The city's position was that the arbitrator could decide the just cause issue. That's a garden variety clause under our collective bargaining agreement. I completely agree with my friend Commissioner Leonard that a just cause provision and an arbitrator's award is final and binding. You and I have been through those cases before, whether we agree with them or disagree with them, but that is the bargain we have struck. The question in this case, though, and the legal question that's caused a lot of consternation in the city, is whether the arbitrator has the authority in a case with the city to issue an award binding on the fund. In this case, the city took the position that the arbitrator did not have the authority to do that. Did not have the authority to direct the fund to make the grievant whole. So the arbitrator, in my judgment, compounded his legal error by then ruling that I direct the city, paren, not the fund, end paren, to pay the grievant his disability benefits. Now that turns logic on its head because the city does not provide disability benefits. The fund does. And so when I came before you, and when I sat down with Commissioner Leonard and said I had a concern about this case, it is not because I think the union did not have the right to assert its position. I honor our process. It is not because it does not go to the question of who had better lawyering. It goes to the question of whether the arbitrator had the authority to render that decision. And there is no principle of law that says that either party is bound, final and binding or otherwise, to a ruling which the arbitrator does not have the authority to render. Any more than had the arbitrator not only reinstated him, but declared that Mr. Hurley should now function as the mayor of the city of Portland. He has no authority to do that, and he has no authority to direct benefits, in my judgment. That's a legal question. That's a legal question. And Mr. Lemon, I have great respect for you. I have great respect for your attorneys. My position in this case is that when you have a legal question that goes to the core, the foundation of the integrity of this system, we are best served, both of us, as I mentioned when we met, we are best served by having a court decide that question and not an arbitrator. Why? because we never agreed that an arbitrator or an arbitration is the right forum to decide something fundamental like the structure of our government and the structure of our fund. And furthermore, it is my understanding that in the history of this state, not one single beneficiary has ever brought an arbitration disputing a PERS benefit or a workers' comp benefit. In fact, I did some history in this case, and I learned that from 2007, not one single beneficiary under the city's pension and disability fund has ever sought to challenge a decision of the fund through arbitration. So as a recovering lawyer and as a member of this body, I am troubled that an arbitrator substituted his judgment for what I think ultimately is a decision of the court. And if you are right at the end of this process and a court agrees with you, so be it. That is our legal system. That is the rule of law. And then this body will have to decide whether that's an appropriate result, and it may very well be required to bargain with you over changes or enter. And I would advocate that we do that in a collegial way, because I believe that every single bona fide claim that's presented to this fund should be honored. But I just want to be clear. My concern goes to who decides the legal question. And on that point, I believe a court is the best place to have that decided. And I appreciate your position, and you know I respect it. But I don't.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
If an individual was unjustly fired and we went through the process and he was reinstated, the arbitrator would have the ability to say, you owe him this amount for the time that he lost when he was incorrectly fired. Isn't that correct?
Not in this case, in my opinion.
Well, no, what I'm saying, in the scenario that I laid out.
If it is a pure matter arising under the city's contract, yes, that is a remedy. The question here, and the arbitrator alludes to it in his decision, the arbitrator acknowledges in his decision that the appropriate remedy is to reinstate and have the fund pay the benefit. But the city advised him that he didn't have the authority to do that. So the arbitrator, in my judgment, compounded the legal error by charging the city for a disability benefit that he had no authority to impose. It is only the fund that can make that decision. And that's a common question of law in each of the other 9 cases that Commissioner Leonard alluded to. Because in each of those 9 cases, the question is the fund like PERS and does it have separate legal identity, or is the fund like any other city bureau, in which case you can use the contractual arbitration provision to get a better result? And that's a fundamental legal question in my judgment.
Do you have any comment?
Regarding that or anything?
I'd like to ask him
some questions, and I'd like to respond to what was just
said. I want to give you a chance. Do you have anything to say in response to that?
No.
Commissioner Fish. Okay. Commissioner Leonard. Are you done, Commissioner Fish?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes.
Okay. Commissioner
Leonard. I want to be really sure you're done this time.
I
want to be 3
he said
minutes
he was.
Into my discussion, then
I
be interrupted again.
I appreciate the
again.
Courtesy, Commissioner Leonard.
Well, we're each entitled to our own opinion, but none of us are entitled to our own version of the facts. What you're seeing here is a fact production mill, not an accurate depiction of what the arbitration award says. And I expect more out of Commissioner Fish than what I just heard.
That's
just
an unfair comment, Commissioner.
Let me tell you why, because I will finish the sentence that Commissioner Fish has artfully dropped off. I'm going to read the entire 6-7 sentences that Commissioner Fish alluded to. Of course, then this is the arbitrator speaking. The simplest way to make grievant whole is for me to direct the city to reinstate grievant as a fund member and for the fund to pay grievant his disability benefits retroactive to April 5th, 2007. However, the city has taken the position that no one, including the city, has the authority to direct the fund to do anything. Accordingly, I direct the city, not the fund, to pay grievant the amount of compensation grievant would have received from the fund in disability benefits had those benefits not been terminated. The arbitrator did not award disability benefits to Mr. Hurley. He awarded what Commissioner Fish commonly would refer to in the legal profession as damages. If you're driving a car leaving here today on your way back to work and you're lawfully driving through a green light and somebody blows the red light and hits you and injures you so severely that you can't go to work not only that day, but for 2 years, and it ends up in court, I promise that the judge will not order your employer to pay you the wages you would have otherwise received. That would not happen. What the judge would do would order the person that harmed you, that is, the person that blew the red light, to pay you the compensation in damages you have coming to you in terms of lost wages. That is exactly what the arbitrator did in this case, and is exactly the source of my frustration, because this feels more like election year grandstanding than it does trying to responsibly resolve the dispute.
Mayor, Commissioner Leonard, just a second. I strike the words, Mayor. Strike that outrageous comment. Well, Commissioner Leonard is the first to remind us you do not challenge the motives of colleagues.
I strike
the words.
Okay, gentlemen, I'm the chair of this august body.
Okay, but I'm not done.
And I'm not going to tolerate questioning each other's motives as part of this discussion.
I didn't.
I understand that passions are high and that people feel strongly about this, but I will gavel anyone that questions another person's motives.
I didn't say what the motives were. I said how I felt about what was happening.
I'm going to gavel that as well.
So the point being this. This issue only has to do with the termination of an employee without just cause. That is, as has been alluded to, garden variety labor law. Any attorney should understand that. You cannot fire somebody without just cause to do so. So what is just cause? Just cause is that you have legal standing to do it. So why did the Fire Bureau fire Mr. Hurley? They fired Mr. Hurley because they ordered him back to a job in the Fire Bureau that hadn't been identified, hadn't been created. There were no wages assigned to. There was no hours assigned to. And there were no, notwithstanding the characterization of Mr. Hurley of milking the disability system, there were no limitations put on the job that reflect the independent medical exam that the pension board had done of Mr. Hurley to see what kind of job he could perform. So the union sat down and didn't try to bargain whether or not we should have a return to work program, or bargain whether or not it was legal for the voters to pass light-duty jobs. That's not what the union sat down and bargained. They agreed to that. That's clear from when you read the arbitration award. All sides stipulate to that. What was not at issue at the cost of being repetitive, but needs to be said again, what was not at issue was whether or not there should be a return-to-work program. All sides agreed to that. But what the city didn't do was sit down and say, okay, when we order Mr. Hurley back, he'll be in job A. It'll pay this much an hour. Here's what the duties are, and here's what he won't be required to do because your pension board doctor said he can't do these things. Those things had not been identified. So the city said, come back to work to this position that we don't know exists yet, to how much it's going to pay yet, and if you don't, we'll fire you. So he said, I'm not coming back until you tell me what the job is. They fired him. So the union did what unions do. They filed the grievance and said, you can't fire a person for not coming back to work to a job you haven't told him that exists, how much the pay is, what the hours are, what the limitations are. In spite of all this hype that you've heard, the independent medical examiner hired by the pension board found he had physical limitations. So the union did its job. They went to arbitration. The city argued, you can't tell us to put this guy back to work. The arbitrator said, yes, of course I can. You fired him. We can put him back to work. And then the city said, well, you can't tell the disability fund to pay him disability benefits. The arbitrator said, you're right, I can't. So the city caused the harm by not fulfilling its obligation under collective bargaining to create the position. So he said, I'm not going to award you disability benefits. I'm going to award you damages. Damages in the amount of the money that you would have got had you not been terminated early. That's what the issue was. That's what the issue is. Now, until this amendment happened today, the strategy that the fire chief and I had worked on, we couldn't do. I was assigned the Bureau a year ago. This decision was made back in 2007 by the then commissioner in charge and by the then mayor, Tom Potter, that we are trying to unravel today. And what we have done at the Fire Bureau is actually identify two positions that the pension board's doctor previously had cleared Mr. Hurley to work in two. Two. They exist currently. They've already been bargained. We know what the wages are. We know what the limitations are. We know what the hours are. We can legally tell him to go back into those positions. Now, some might ask why that wasn't done back in 2007, as I have, and I haven't got a good answer to that. But you wouldn't have had an arbitration, you wouldn't have a grievance filed if the city would have simply followed basic labor law at that time. But now, with this resolution, it threatens to put us right back into the position, right back into the position of playing, ironically, into Mr. Hurley's hands. And as I was accurately quoted in the paper today, if that resolution would have passed with the language that existed up to 10 minutes ago, wherever Tom Hurley is in the United States tonight, he'd raise a cocktail glass to the city and say, thank you very much, because now I can count on $3,200 a month for as many years as it takes you guys to appeal this, because this arbitration award is not going to be overturned. And politicians don't make definitive statements very long. This is on tape and on video. This arbitration award will not be overturned, because everything I've heard here is misrepresentations and mischaracterizations of the facts and the facts of the case, and it's easy to read.
Okay. So I want the public to, I want to underscore with the public, having spoken to every member of the city council today, every member of the city council up here today on this issue, that I believe all of their intentions to be constructive and well-meaning. And although in the passion of debate that might seem to be skirtedly called into question, I think reasonable people can disagree on this issue. So having said that, you've been waiting very patiently to testify. If you, now is your opportunity.
So you're asking me to be reasonable. Is that correct, Mayor Adams?
Okay, please try.
I would agree with everything you just said. I think I enter this with the assumption that everybody's motives are pure here, that everybody wants to implement what the voters adopted in 2006. I'm here to say that...
Give us your name again.
Oh, I'm sorry. Justin Delaney. I'm a citizen trustee of the FPDNR system. I was appointed by this council. I respectfully disagree with some of the comments I just heard. I think that a plain non-legal ruling of this arbitrator's award is it reveals a intermingling of FPDNR in the city that does not exist. We operate FPDNR as a standalone benefit system, much as PERS is operated as a standalone system, and much as workers' comp is operated as a standalone system. I'm also a lawyer. I also have a lot of disability management experience. I think this arbitration ruling is incorrect. I don't know the arbitrator, but I think that these issues need to be sorted out in a court of law. I don't have anything against Mr. Hurley. I think Mr. Hurley did what any rational person would do. I also truly respect the efforts and the skill of the union. They did what they should do. They're representing their member. They picked a very smart tactic, which is to say that FPDNR is just another part of the city government. That is the fundamental issue here. If you want me to continue on this board and to do what we've done, and believe me, we've had a lot of positive effect, and we've saved the taxpayers a lot of money, while at the same time we take ample time to listen to members' concerns, I need you to uphold the independence of the system. That includes challenging opinions that we think might be wrong, even if there's a chance that we may lose in court. FPDNR has an appeals process. It was not followed in this case. The union decided to go to the labor grievance route. That turned out to be a smart tactic. That's why I say good job to them. I think it's incumbent upon us to appeal that and try to push this claim back into the disability system where it belongs. I would ask simply if this could occur under PERS, and if your answer is no, as I suspect that it is, why is it okay under FPDNR? We need to operate this as a standalone system. We need to try to do what the voters asked us to do, and that's preserve the integrity of the system. One point that hasn't been made that I'll close on is this idea of finding another job outside of the return to work program for Mr. Hurley to go into. That concerns me because it feels an awful lot like a second or third disability system that we're talking about here. And Commissioner Leonard, I don't think you want to be in the position of having to decide which members you're going to find a job for and which you're not. I respect what you're trying to do for this member, believe me, but I'm not sure that it serves your interests or the fund's interests in the long term. Feels like a separate decision process that'll have to be gone through, and again, it's outside of FPDNR. Thank you.
So just on that last point,
yeah.
You're saying that if we bring him back to a light duty job that your independent medical examiner said he'd be qualified for, your independent medical examiner, that's the wrong decision?
Mr. Leonard, a job was already identified for him through a return to work program that the union participated in creating under the auspices of FPDNR. I don't know. I'm not the claims person for FPDNR.
Well, but you should know, because that's the whole
point. No, I shouldn't know.
Let me finish.
I'm going to challenge you.
Let me finish.
You made a statement that's not true.
The whole arbitration award surrounds the very issue you just said you don't know about. It surrounded the position hadn't been created. It hadn't been identified. It hadn't been funded. The hours weren't identified. The responsibilities hadn't been identified. And the wages hadn't been identified. So that's not correct. What you just said is not correct. He hadn't been ordered into a job because it had. Well, you just shake your head and throw it off like it's nothing. It's that kind of approach that costs the taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars that if we're thoughtful, we can avoid spending. And that I would develop a strategy to put him in a job that your doctor said he's qualified for upsets you. I'm sorry.
I'd like to respond to that.
Yeah, and then your floor is yours to respond.
Thank you. Commissioner Leonard, this isn't about me. This isn't about you. I am an independent trustee of a fund that taxpayers implemented. My reading of this arbitration is very different from the facts that you spelled out. Same with my colleague on the board here. This isn't about wages applicable to a position identified by the return to work system. This is an attack on FPDNR as part of a coordinated effort, which I don't begrudge the unions for. That effort is to say that every rule change or negative claim decision can be grieved through a collective bargaining agreement. FPDNR is not part of that CBA. That's
CBA?
My reading, collective bargaining agreement. That's my reading. So respectfully, I disagree with what you just said.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for your testimony. Oh, you wanted, is this part of a coordinated attack to?
Yeah, right.
I want to give you
comments.
I want to give you a chance
just
to respond
one, this
to that.
What led to this whole thing was the city's refusal to bargain about the hours and working conditions of these positions. We were flabbergasted. We had worked through a list of 12 things, and we got to number 10, and the city said, "No, we're not going to do this anymore." We waited for months before we filed an unfair labor practice. You should find out who made that decision, because the Labor Relations Board or the Employee Relations Board agreed that was an unfair labor practice, and that's what brought us all this grief, was whoever decided they weren't going to talk anymore. And there was nothing to be fighting over. We were just working out the little details. And they walked away, whoever it was.
So is the union engaged in, or representatives of the union engaged in, a coordinated effort to try to push back or through other means dull the impact of the reforms of FPDNR?
Well, I was an officer of the union until January, and I've been a trustee since 2000, and absolutely not.
Okay.
Mayor Adams, if I may.
Then we're going to move on, but yes.
When I say a coordinated attack, I'm simply stating facts. If you look at the 10 cases that have been referenced by this council, by attack, I don't mean something negative.
Oh.
It is very, very smart. If I was the union's attorney, I would take that tactic as well.
Okay.
I'm talking about skipping the built-in appeals process within FPDNR and saying that, you know what, FPDNR is just part of the city benefits package. Let's grieve it arbitrator.
Is your union trying to do that, what he just described, better than I did?
Not that I know of, sir.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else signed up to testify?
We have a Robert Hartsock.
Mr. Hartsock? Mr. Hartsock? Anyone else wish to testify on this matter that did not sign up? Sir? Right. Please come forward. Anybody else? Hi.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to City Council. You just need to give us your name, if you represent any organization, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm Robert Hartsock. I represent the Portland Firefighters Association. I just wanted to speak to just the last bit of the previous testimony, the attack and the strategy, and in your question, Mayor, about the union and the pushback. And I'm currently sitting as a vice president, and I can tell you absolutely categorically, no. We support the return to work program. We sat at the table and really adopted a collaborative attitude in the whole reform process. There were things about it that we obviously had issue with, but we realized that, you know, reform was necessary. And the return to work program is successful. It works. The numbers are there. Look at the numbers. Take the time. Research it. Understand it. It's necessary. The firefighters and the police officers need it. The citizens need it. But the attack, I take issue with that. The Erb Board ruling simply said that the city should bargain the impact. And when I say impact, we're referring to the hours of work, the type of work, and the dollars that they'll receive in compensation. That's it. We wanted to sit and talk about that. As Bob Lemon referred to, all of a sudden that just stopped. We were so close. That bargaining process was being productive, and it just stopped. And so now we're faced with this arbitration piece that's complicated. It's messy. We don't like it. But we were right there. And nobody knows why. And we'd like to know why. Because we're committed to sitting at the table and moving forward through that process to develop resolve. That's the issue here. It's not arbitration.
Do you see merit in the concerns that have been expressed about the bigger picture, the notion that unless the city fights some of these things in whatever venue or pushes back on some of these things in whatever venue, that it will, in effect, create dysfunction in the system, significant dysfunction in the system? Do you agree with that?
I don't, and I'll tell you why. I think if you look back historically, Commissioner Fish, you cited numbers back to a certain date. Local 43, while I've been a sitting officer in this union, we have never taken a case to arbitration regarding benefits for our members. There's actually a group of individuals that brought forward their own case, came to Local 43, sought support from us to fight a fight relative to this whole conversation, and we opted not to get involved. They've taken it on their own, and we didn't feel it was appropriate for us to get involved. So what I can tell you is that the specifics of this particular issue, Mr. Hurley's case, were very unique, and for the reasons that Commissioner Leonard cited and the arbitrator cited. And had we been able to sit at the table and continue the process that we committed to in 2004 in the reform process, I have no doubt in my mind that we would have reached a final decision that made sense. And I'm committed to that, and I'm speaking for our union body right now. I can tell you, we come here today telling you we're committed to that process.
I appreciate that, and you've made that a couple of times, which underscores it for us. Commissioner Saltzman?
Well, Mr. Hartsock, I just want to ask the question. Okay, you're in bargaining right now with the city, so why not take the stance that let's iron out all the kinks to the return to work program, and in the meantime, let us challenge the fact that Mr. Hurley has not exhausted his administrative remedies with the Fire, Police, Disability, and Retirement Fund.
We can't. We have appealed it to the Employment Relations Board. That issue, we lost it. It's at the Court of Appeals. We can't bargain it because the very thing that you just asked him to bargain about, the city filed an unfair labor practice over. Actually, the union filed an unfair labor practice over. When the union tried to bargain what you just asked him to bargain, the city attorney's office filed an unfair labor practice. It ended up at the Employment Relations Board. The board ruled that the city had committed an unfair labor practice by not doing what you just asked Rob to do, and then we appealed that to the Court of Appeals.
Trying to get to the Court of Appeals.
No, no. Well, you got to connect the dots here, though. I mean, you just put him on the spot and ask him, why don't you sit down and bargain it, when we have refused to bargain with them over that subject.
Is your answer different than Commissioner Leonard's?
I'm not sure I'm tracking with everybody's particular point here.
And in fairness, you don't have your counsel here.
I just wanted to give you the opportunity.
Trying to get you to speak for the union on a extremely complicated matter of law.
But I just, I am trying to chair the
meeting in a manner that airs out some of the issues, though. Okay. So do you have an opportunity to add or subtract Commissioner Leonard's answer to Commissioner Saltzman's question?
Could you ask me the question again?
We're in negotiations with you and all of our unions right now for new contracts. So why don't we negotiate any kinks there are in the return to work program to your satisfaction and to our satisfaction.
Oh, so you're talking about using the collective bargaining process that we're currently engaged in,
right,
to address FPD&R issues.
Right, and then let us move ahead per this resolution to challenge the award part of Mr. Hurley's.
You're welcome.
Well, there's two reasons I can think of. Firsthand is we've already started that process, and both sides have exchanged
proposals.
Our intent to bargain, and those, that was not one of them. And I think without reference to counsel, I think that would probably be something we'd want to sit and discuss at length before we decided that's something truly fit. But like I said before, we're totally committed to working through the issues. We believe reform was necessary. It was right. There are things about it we don't like, but you know what? We're committed to the process, and there's things about it that are really providing benefits for the citizens and the firefighters and police officers.
So we're going to move
to... We have a city attorney present that's involved in this issue.
Yeah. Commissioner Fish would like to ask or make a comment while you're...
I'd like to have somebody, if they're not here, if you could bring them down on the point just asked by Commissioner Saltzman.
I'll do that. I'll make
Thank
a call.
You. Okay.
In the meantime, there's Commissioner Fish wanted to...
So, talk Rob, to you. I want to just make reference to the Employment Relations Board. Mm-hmm. Because as Commissioner Leonard has already observed, on the 9 of the 10 cases, the council is unified in believing we need a definitive legal ruling. There's one case that's causing a little more vinegar, and that's the Hurley case. And there's an old adage that sometimes bad cases or bad facts make bad law. And this is a complicated case, and I appreciate the fact that we're all trying to struggle with a decision which, in my opinion, was wrongly decided and poorly reasoned, but that's one person's view. But I want to go back to what the Employment Relations Board ruled, because that is something that I believe today we're going to get unanimity to challenge. In a couple of those ERB decisions, the Employment Relations Board said that FPD&R is a bureau of the city, and as a consequence of being a bureau, was bound by the same duty to bargain that any other bureau has over certain matters. That may or may not be right, but I will tell you, in terms of my understanding of the relationship and how it would impact what we bargain over and how we resolve disputes and, frankly, the integrity of the fund and whether we even needed trustees, that's a big finding. And so what I just want to be clear on the record is that determination by an administrative agency that FPD&R is a bureau, and rather than being like PERS, which is has separately, does have significant, in my opinion, significant consequences into how we bargain and resolve disputes. And as I mentioned to you before, I think on questions like that, both sides are benefit from having a court give us some clarity on that. Because that's a big question. And if you're right, if the union's right on that, it has big consequences. If the city's right, it has consequences. But I want to be clear that in asking a court to rule on it, I don't intend to express disrespect to either side. I just believe that a judge is better suited to resolving that than either an arbitrator or the ERB.
Do you have any reaction?
Were you familiar with the conversations or the committee work that took place that developed some of the components about the return to work program that resulted in that dispute, I guess, or the question?
I'm not, partially because I wasn't a commissioner, but I'm willing to learn more about it.
Not an attorney, but in kind of a nuts and bolts fashion, I can give you a little bit of an insight. As we worked through the process of the components of return to work, we got to the point where all sides agreed. Then became the piece about, okay, how many hours do they work? What do they get paid? What do they do? You know, how does this fit for the police officers and firefighters are going to be called back to work? We became pretty concerned when there was an intent of what the language of the program was going to be, and when we reached implementation, those two things didn't line up. We started having things happen like firefighters getting letters mandated return to work that couldn't physically do it. It just created things didn't, the intent wasn't meeting what the expectations were, I guess.
And
that resulted in the legal process, which then resulted in the ruling, which resulted in you just.
And Rob, what I would say
right.
is just, I'm just speaking for myself, but since you and I both agree that a grievance or an herb filing represents a failure of the system because we would always rather resolve things
right.
at the table. Regardless of what the council does today, I hope you know that it's our commitment to get to the root of this, that there are some legal issues, but there's also relationship issues, and nothing precludes us from revisiting those issues and figuring out what went wrong. But as it currently stands, I don't think either side is served by having an arbitrator or ERB opine on fundamental legal issues outside of their authority.
So I think a number of people
in this last portion of discussion have underscored by increasingly distilled repetition their points of view on this, which is good, but I'd like to move on. I really want to thank you for your willingness to step to the table. And I appreciate the openness in which you've engaged us in dialogue. Thank you very much. It can be a very intimidating setting. You held your own. Now we have the city attorney here, and Commissioner Leonard wanted to ask you some questions.
So before you got here, Linda, Mr. Hartsock, representing the Portland Firefighters Association, was describing kind of how we got here. And one of the things that he described, and Commissioner Saltzman, correct me if I get this wrong, but one of the things he was describing was the dynamic that existed when they were bargaining over the wages and the hours and the working conditions of the proposed light-duty positions that return-to-work firefighters who had been on disability were going to be ordered back into. And what he said was, at some point, the city just stopped talking about that. We don't know who, we don't know why, but they stopped talking about that, which led to the unfair labor practice. Commissioner Saltzman then said, well, you're in bargaining now. Why don't you sit down now in bargaining and bargain relative to the creation of those positions that you were trying to bargain back in 2007 or 8 or whenever that whole issue took place. And what I said was, that is the very issue that the city has taken a position on that caused the unfair labor practice to be filed. That is, that those were permissive subjects of bargaining, that you took the position that those were assignments of duties, and that the union had no right to bargain over the wages, hours, and working conditions. So if Commissioner Saltzman is saying to the association, why don't you sit down now and bargain that, that's contrary to what the city attorney's office position is. And so my question is, am I accurately describing our position?
I will answer you, but I am not the most intimately involved in this, and unfortunately, the people who are not here. But I believe if it's a permissive subject of bargaining, the city could decide to bargain about it. Yes, we have taken the position that it's not a mandatory subject of bargaining. Permissive means that the parties can decide that they will both agree that they will bargain about it, but one party can't make the other party.
I'm trying to get more to not generally right. discussion of permissive and mandatory, but
right.
very specifically on this issue.
Yes.
Commissioner Saltzman said, why don't you sit now and bargain it? And my clear understanding of the position we have taken is that
yes.
it's permissive, and the union can't insist we bargain on it. In fact, it's in the ball's in the city's court.
We have taken that position, and we have appealed the case to the Court of
right.
Appeals.
Thank you.
Would you introduce yourself?
My name, excuse me. My name is Yvonne Deckard, and I'm the director for the Bureau of Human Resources. We're currently beginning bargaining with PFFA, and generally, the city has never refused to bargain over permissive subjects. And I know that we've taken the viewpoint that this is permissive. But if the union was to put this, because we haven't exchanged our list of things that we're willing to talk about, could they put that on their list and say that they want to engage in a conversation with us about this during bargaining? Yes, they could. And we would.
And so could we.
And so could we.
But the point I want to make is the city council can't have it both ways. We cannot act like we're defending the changes to the system and then put the union on the spot and say, well, then why don't you sit and bargain over the positions when they were doing just that, and the city took the position, you don't have the right to bargain with us over the wages, hours, and working conditions. And then we get into this circular argument where we're villainizing the association and not talking about our role in what's happened. So I'm just trying to get, this is not for either of you two to respond to. This is more a council. I'm trying to point out that the council has taken a number of contradictory positions, all of which cost the taxpayers a lot more money than if we did the right thing in the first place.
So do you agree that, do you agree with the, or what is your perspective on the need to pursue our legal options to prevent FPDNR de facto being considered, its status to be considered that of just another bureau?
Are you asking me?
Starting with you.
I think that's the subject of this resolution, and as was discussed in an executive session we had 2 weeks ago.
And we have recommended that the city pursue this.
She can answer in public, yeah.
We have recommended that the city pursue these issues because it is creating a significant level of disconnect between what FPDNR does and what the city does, and has created extreme, I think could in the future create extreme difficulties in being able to manage the disability and retirement system in the city.
And you, in terms of the work that Commissioner Leonard has been pursuing vis-a-vis the specifics around the Hurley situation to try to get some closure to that and to limit potential future liability, whether it's FPDNR's bill or the general fund bill, do you agree that the way he has approached this is financially in the city's best interest as well, and are the two compatible?
I believe they are compatible, and I believe that it is a reasonable action to take to try to limit future liability.
Mayor, may I just
on this specific
matter?
Right.
So, Linda, thank you for the briefings you've given me on this matter, and I just want to separate out the two issues. The remedy phase in the Hurley case has two components.
Yes.
One is pay him some money that was earned in the past, the $100-something thousand, correct?
Disability benefits, yes.
Disability benefits.
Yes.
And then the second part is pay him on a monthly basis going forward.
Yes.
The amendment that's been offered to Commissioner Saltzman's resolution today makes very clear, does it not, that the commissioner in charge can, in fact, take any reasonable steps to mitigate the impact on the city and taxpayers of that future exposure.
That's my understanding.
And that includes offering another position or doing whatever the law provides to make sure we're not paying Mr. Hurley for doing nothing.
That's the way I would interpret it, yes.
Our risk on the $100,000 and change that is also at issue is that if a court disagrees with us down the road, we'll owe the $100,000 plus interest, correct?
Yes.
So the risk to the taxpayers in separating out the issues, challenging the authority to award the disability benefits, giving Mr. Hurley an offer of some other position to cut off our exposure is effectively the interest that is due on the lump sum money that the arbitrator awarded.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Carla, will you please call the vote on the resolution?
Fritz. First, thank you to Jeff Robinson, Bob Lemon, and Justin Delaney and the other members of the FPDNR board.
I really appreciate your service, and I appreciate you being here for these comments. I also thank the Portland Firefighters Association and your members who are here giving us your input, and that was very helpful to me. I have not heard anybody villainizing the Firefighters Union, and indeed I think we all share the value of our city employees and making sure that they get what's due and what's right. And I also appreciate the resolution. I believe this declaration, what it does is ask the court to decide this issue. And clearly, there is a difference of opinion on the council, and I think